So let's delve right into the questions. Everybody good with that? Do you want to lay? Yes. Yes, she does. Thank you. I got you this for Valentine's Day. I got you. I don't know. Okay. So let's delve right into the questions. Hopefully everybody is aware of the couples now. So let's start with an easy one, just an icebreaker. We'll just delve right in. Bubba and Carissa, how did you guys, Carissa, how did you guys meet?
I was his waitress at Rib Crib when I was in high school.
Can you tell a little bit about how it happened?
Oh, tell the story? Okay. So Bubba and his mother and his brother and one of his friends came into Rib Crib while I was working. They sat in my area, and I went over and waited on him, and we made eye contact, and I was a little smitten, and he kind of smiled at me in a cute way where his cute little dimple sunk in, and the rest is history. His mom stuck around after they got done eating and said, well, had actually told him, said, that's the kind of girl that you should date. And so he said, well, if you stick around, ask her if she has a boyfriend. And if she doesn't, then give her my number. And so she stuck around and she left his number with me because I said, no, I did not have a boyfriend. But I did ask which boy she was referring to that was interested in me at the table because there was only one I was interested in. And so it was him. And so she left his number with me, and it took me about 3 days to get the courage to call him because I couldn't stop talking about him. And we met up a couple days later, and we've been together ever since. So
that cute smile was, my mouth was on fire, and she would not refill my drink. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It was on fire, though.
Okay, Swags. You guys met at ORU, right? Yeah. Can you guys give us a little bit more of who noticed who first? Were you guys on a mission trip, right?
No, actually nothing exciting. Yeah.
He was still dating his high school girlfriend when I met him. And so we just were friends for a long time, and then we started dating.
So you were behind the scenes, shut that relationship down?
No, I wasn't even interested in him. I was like, oh,
yeah, you're like,
that's
who
cute.
Is that guy?
Yeah, it was something like that. Nothing exciting, but yeah, we were friends for a long time first.
Jaime, complete this sentence. I knew I had found the love of my life when...
Did you watch the video when she could out-squat me?
Touche.
Okay,
we're going to go around now. We're going to ask the husband some questions. What? You just do whatever
okay,
one you
I
want
to do this one. Honey. I think it would be really funny. So this is going to go to each of the husbands. We can start with you, Bubba, since you answered last. You can. Okay. When your wife says, honey, they're playing our song, what song is it?
Ruh-roh.
If I'm asking Peyton, I feel like she says every song is y'all's song. Yeah?
Yeah, that's pretty close. Something by Alan Jackson. I'm horrible with names of songs.
Sing it for us. Just kidding. Yeah.
You don't want that.
Tell me it's not the really sweet, the really sad. It talks about when you get old and then your kids get, oh gosh.
Yeah, that's
don't.
It.
Let's
that's
not talk
it.
About
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
not talk
and
about
I just married
it.
My daughter off.
There's I know. Next.
Matt, you want to answer that question?
I think it's a Bruno Mars song, right?
Probably.
Yeah, Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars
for sure.
Fantastic.
Okay, Jaime, which of the following breakfast cereals best describes your wife's family's opinion of you when they first met you? Not now, but when they first met you, what is one? Just Right, Oatmeal Squares, Frosted Flakes, Lucky Charms, Fruit Loops?
Probably Fruit Loops.
nothing needed after that. If your wife could choose to get rid of one thing, Bubba, Okay, oh, yeah.
I really want to hear what Pastor Sandy would get rid of Pastor
Bill. Dad, if Mom could choose one thing to get rid of yours, what would she choose? Just one. The top one.
Well, all my jeans and jean jackets and boots. Someone else is wearing them now.
It's a good wife. Sneak in while he's not looking. Get rid of it. I do that. Maybe this shirt. You guys might find the shirt that you see.
This is going to be a dagger.
Tomorrow.
My dog. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a cold-hearted woman right there.
Okay, this is for the wives. We'll start with Joanna. What is the best vacation you've ever taken together?
It would have to be one of the many, many, many times we've gone to Disney World.
How many times have you gone as an adult to Disney World?
As a couple, I think 9 times.
9?
How long have y'all been married?
We like to have fun. YOLO.
About the gift. Okay, Maria, what gift did Jaime give you that's the biggest surprise that you've ever gotten as a gift? Or the best gift or the worst gift? Just tell us about a gift he got you that stood out.
I feel like most of these are inappropriate.
That's why we're here, though, right there. We don't have to bring the Hurleys up here.
What do y'all shirts say? What do the shirts say? World's okayest. That's fantastic. Okay, so good gift giver. He's a good gift giver or no? Yes? That was a timid yes.
Okay, so coming off of that answer, this is for any one of the couples to answer. We're going to start with the Fernandezes. What boundaries do you have in place to keep your marriage a priority?
I feel like we have a lot of boundaries that we put in place from the things that we talked about in our marriage and who we talk to them about or about issues or anything else. I think like being alone with the opposite sex, like don't do it. Trying to think, what else?
Accountability is huge. We're always okay with whatever the other's doing. And also who you talk to and what you talk about when you're mad. It was something early. We got together really young, high school. And sorry, but she would get mad and run to her mom when we first got married and badmouth me. And I wasn't always so easy to love, I guess.
Talk a little more about that.
Yeah. But when we get, I'd show up a week later and she'd forgiven me. Her mom had not. Yeah. And so I would say, and as a family, what we talk about outside of the family and to who we talk about, always protecting our own.
Pastor Sandy, feel like you have good stuff to say on that. So can you?
Carissa said quite a bit of it. I would say definitely that we come in agreement before any major decision that we make. And then if we are, a lot of times if we come to an impasse where it's like, well, I don't really have a feeling one way or another, I try to divert to him just because I just always have done that. Secondly is we never include our kids in any kind of argument, any kind of serious talk. We like that the kids stay as kids and we're the adults. And we feel like as long as we have a unified front, as a couple, that it's kind of like we're steering a ship, and as long as we agree and come in agreement and deal with it privately, that our home will be safe and secure and our kids will feel that way. I don't know that we've done that every single time, but we strive to do that. Definitely never have we met with the opposite sex alone, not even up in the offices. It's a rule here at the church. You can't be with the opposite sex for any reason. You can't counsel the opposite sex. I mean, we can tell you guys of being in ministry for so many years of just so many times that it just starts out very small, and you can think about where you work, and it just starts really minimally as a look, and then goes on from there, and then the next thing you know, someone's counseling someone over what their wife or husband did, and it just turns into an affair, and it's just an area that the devil can just get into and just wreak havoc, I believe. So we try to really, to go spiritual here, be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit and what we're supposed to do and what we're not. And I would say one of the biggest things is, as we've gotten older, that we've really entered into a season, because we are empty nesters now, that that we really don't say yes to everything. We've really, secured our time. Like, we've been very possessive of our time lately, just that we definitely have this time together, and then our kids, family, church. I mean, we have an order to it. And because you just can't be with everybody all the time and say yes to everything. So that's been a key too, because we like being with people. We're both social. We like doing stuff all the time. And sometimes that can become an escape. You know, if you're always with other people, then you don't have to deal with your husband or your wife, you know. So we've seen that too. So just keeping it very balanced is, I guess, the way I'd look at it.
Well, and I think you ought to address how we don't talk derogatorily about each other to anybody. Yeah. You know, we're not, there's probably not a time, I know there's not a time I've ever gone to anybody with anything negative about Sandy. Mm-hmm. And that's just something we've never done. And I know other people feel like they need to, but I just think if that's a door you don't open, you're not, it's never going to be hurtful. And I think anytime you do open it, it will be hurtful.
And words are powerful, so once you speak them out, it becomes powerful. And a lot of things are self-fulfilling prophecies. And so, I think that that's important. And I also think it's important that people don't forget like you do over things that happen to you. Like, I mean, they can make you mad, like what Bubba was saying. And people don't forget that. And so then they harbor that thing towards that person or towards your spouse. And then you've moved on to the next thing or whatever, to the next part of your life, and they can't get over it. So that's important.
That's good. So boundaries and balance are things. But Swags, I know you guys have some other stuff that you, fun, adventurous stuff. I feel like you guys are the adventure couple. What fun things, healthy things do you do to keep your marriage healthy?
Well, I think mainly is keeping that friendship alive. It's people, when you first are around each other, become friends, you start liking each other, then you get married, you're around each other for a few years. It seems like their friendship goes first, and then that's kind of what leads into marriage is just not lasting. So the one thing that I know that we talk about a lot is we want to stay friends, and so we do things together. We find hobbies to do together, events to do together, whether it's traveling or just doing a puzzle. Or we love the thunder. We thunder up.
You thunder up so hard.
We thunder so hard. We try to find things that we both enjoy doing, but mainly it's just that we're around each other to keep our friendship going. Because that's the biggest thing. As long as we can enjoy each other and enjoy being around each other, that's what keeps that kind of marriage unit so strong.
Yeah, fun matters.
Yeah. It does. Disney matters.
Preach.
How do you guys keep from having the same fights?
Sometimes life throws curveballs, and I think the biggest thing for us is not so much preventing the same fights from happening, but not making the same mistakes when we fight. You know, is just making sure that we navigate it with the main purpose of, you know, if we're going to fight, we're pretty good. You know, we've had enough practice at this point in 11 years that she knows the way I fight. I know the way she fights. And so we just know that we won't allow ourselves to get too bad in the way we fight. And we realize that nothing is allowed here.
That's good.
If we're together, that, you know, whatever happens, I did something wrong, she understands, or I understand that it's the enemy trying to put a little bit of space between us. If he can get that, then he's going to make the fight nasty, you know, and I think that's one of the biggest things.
He's really good at reminding me of that and just stopping my argument and walking away, which is the worst. But it really does. I think when you can have a chance and calm down and come back to it and you talk about it, one of the best fights we had was just like a few weeks ago. And he ended up telling me exactly how I was making him feel. And it just hit me in such a way that I didn't realize, because he waited and waited and waited until I wasn't mad anymore and then said it. And I saw it. I saw what he was saying, and it was like, I thought it was all his fault, but it was really all my fault. And no, and it helped, because then you can change and improve. And
yeah. Jaime just became every guy's hero in the room right there.
Fernandez, do you guys have any tips for how you guys resolve fights, or things that you've learned over the years as to what works for you guys and how to resolve when you do fight, because they do happen?
It's funny. We actually discussed this previously, and we've been married for 20 years, almost 21 years, and we don't really fight anymore. I mean, we disagree, and we both have our opinions, but I don't feel like we ever get to that point where we're fighting, because we both realize, like, in the end, unless we're together in some sort of agreement, then neither of us are gonna win. And like, it's not about winning and losing here. We both want to win. I want him, you know, to be his best, and I want to be my best, and I can't bring that out in him if I'm against him in some way.
I think we've been together, married 20, yeah, almost 21, been together 23, almost 24. We both know when we're getting to that point. I mean, you know, I know when she's had it. She knows when I've had it. When I say I don't want to talk about this right now, a lot of times she respects it. We take a breath, doesn't move further, but it's. I know everyone's sitting there thinking there's no. We really don't fight. I mean, it's. I don't know. Maybe it's rare. I don't know, but we're pretty much in agreement on just about everything prior to any decision.
Okay, this is for the Swaggerts and.
Real quick, just because you guys said how long you guys have been married and together, can we run through real quick, like, how long you've been married together, how many, if you have kids, how many kids, just so that everyone knows a little bit more, because that I feel like is, those are big factors in marriage and fighting. And
should we, like, have all the guys do it?
See if they know? This is a test.
I'm just kidding. 11 years, 2 kids, 11 and 7, Ariel and Judah.
Married 20 years, 3 kids.
Oh, I was like, we've been married 13 and we have 3 kids.
We've been married 33 years, 3 kids.
Just like, who would your favorite kid be? I'm just kidding. Don't answer that. Please don't answer that. Don't answer that. No one's listening.
I have an answer.
No, I know. Don't answer that. this is for the Swaggerts, and I'm asking for a friend. Obviously not me, but I'm asking for a friend. What if you know that your spouse is better at arguing than you are? How do you still win fights?
I would say I'm a better arguer, so you need to answer that one since...
I don't know. I always am like, let's stop. I'm always like, we don't fight good, so I'm always like, let's stop. I don't like conflict. Wait, say it again. What was the question? What do you do if they're better at arguing?
Is that what you do? Like, you just, like, distract?
No, I basically am like, let's cool it off, let's stop, and then we revisit it later when he's being cooler. That's kind of what
so
I think.
So are you the mellow, Matt, in the like, are you the mellow, Joe? Are you mellow?
I don't know that either one of us is mellow. I just have to talk a lot.
And I just like peace, and I just, you know, like... Yeah, I don't know. I just live the word. I don't know.
Okay, this is for mom and dad. How do you come to a compromise when something comes up that you strongly disagree on?
Well, first of all, I do want to say we probably argue every single day. I'm just going to get this out here. All these, we don't argue that much, or we come to this. We argue every single day. And I think it's healthy. I mean, I'm black and white, he's gray. We do not agree on most things. Spiritually, yes. Kids, things, yes. that kind of thing, but we have two totally different personalities, and we are both very passionate people. So we definitely have some form of an argument or a heated, whatever you want to call it, every single day. I can't think of one day in our marriage we haven't. And I'm not kidding. I mean, I'm not even trying to be funny here.
Why would that be funny?
Well, I think it's important because I don't think fighting's bad as long as you have boundaries in the fighting. And so I don't think that neither of us are quiet in what we think. Like, I don't sit back and think, well, what do you think? It's like, this is what I think. And that's what he's saying. It's like, no, you're wrong.
That was really attractive when you said that, though. I really love you so much more just even acting like you would give in ever.
So the question was, how do you come to a compromise if you're arguing? We strongly disagree. How do you come to a compromise? You want to answer that?
Yeah, Sandy is super verbal. And wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
And if I say anything, I'm interrupting. And
it's true.
So sometimes I'll just act like I want to say something just so I can keep it at a fever pitch. But I think that's important, and I think what would be a good line of questioning for the guys up here is, I'm a safe place for her to vent. I'm a safe place for her to unload. I'm a safe place, and knowing it's always going to be directed like I'm to blame, you know, whether I am or not. But it's like, so it feels like that, but to her, that's not how it's being delivered. And see, and I think that's the man's role in a marriage is to be that buffer and to be that place that anything in her life can land, and that she can trust that place with whatever she needs to discard. And I think it's important. And I don't need. I'm very thankful. I'm not married to a brooder, there's no passive aggression in Sandy, and I thank God for that. But you also have to understand, too, that a part of my personal doctrine as the leader of my home is I'll take the hit. Even if she's got to unload it or she's got to vent about it, you know. And I know now that not to get overly emotional, which sometimes irritates her, too. But if I don't get emotional about it and I'm just saying, okay, man, I'm going to be that place where she can unload this. It works out. And you have to understand that the boundaries that we have aren't broad, but they're really tall. They're really high boundaries. So we're never looking over those boundaries or past those boundaries to get to the solution. We know that the solution is with us. It always is. The solution is right here. That's like where I believe this. They said that nothing gets here. I mean, no matter what. And we've had to, because we've raised three litigators as well, our children. And so we'll get alone and we'll say, hey, like, and I've done it. She's done it probably a few more times than I have, where we'll say, hey, just get on my page on this thing. We've got to be a unified front with those other three people that grew up in this house. And I think that's huge. See, the idea isn't just agreement, it's unity. See, we come to a place where I can give in on most things. I'm a dude, you know. But it's not just about agreement, it's about unity. That we've got to be in that place of unity. That we've got to be a unified front. And I think that brings security with our kids. I think that's what they expect in their marriages now. But I also think that in this, that the men take the hit. And in order for that to happen, the woman has to be able to verbalize it. And I think that's what Sandy's talking about when things get heated. It's like, okay, something's swarming us. Man, if we're in unity, we're a unified front, we're unbeatable.
I think it's important, the scripture that says, where there is strife, there is every evil work. So whether you're married, not married, or in a, you know, a relationship with your boss or whatever, you never want to get to a point of strife.
Right.
Because it says every evil work. That's huge. Every evil work, that's not like where you're going to be messed with. That's every evil work. So there is a way to be able to do this, and the compromise would come in where you don't ever let it get to the point that it's strife. And I think a lot of people know when it gets to that point. And then I think, and I'm just going to say this, I think a lot of women just want to be heard. They just want to vent and just be heard. They don't necessarily want you to fix it. Some maybe do, but I don't need him to fix everything in my life. Sometimes I just need to, like, say, what do you think about this? Like, or vent about it, and then him give his opinion, you know? But, what? I usually don't take it, but no. I'm saying you give it.
No, you don't take it. You don't ask for it.
Okay, well, I don't ask for it. But anyway, no, I do. But I'm a reactor, and he's not. And so he brings a peace to the situation where if I find something out, I usually will react immediately. Like, what? I mean, just, you know, like, what are you talking about, Taylor? But then
and that's the source right there of most of the issues in the event.
But then I'll come back to center, and it just takes a little bit. Then I'll come back to center, and then it's no big deal.
Well, but you also have to, the men in here that are reactors, I can be a reactor too, but it never goes well if I'm reacting. And I've learned that, because my reaction is usually way too strong, the fire's too hot, it's too intense. You know, it's interesting that most of the things we have to deal with are not battles, they're obstacles. It's what Bram talked about Thursday night at the men's event, that you have to be able to distinguish the difference between battles and obstacles. Because most of what we have to deal with are obstacles. Man, when there's been a genuine battle that's come against me or her or us or our family, I'm telling you, we're in lockstep. I mean, immediately. And that's been invaluable for us.
Just to finish this up, and I know this probably won't be a popular thing to say, but I think I'm a firm believer in one head, not two. Whether it be pastoral, whether it be in your home or whatever, whether it be the captain of the ship, there is one head. So this is a head of our home. And if we seem to be in disagreement or whatever, what's so great about him is that he'll wait until we get in agreement. But a lot of times the compromise does come in where I will defer to him. And I know in the society today, and let me tell you why I can say that. I can say that because, number one, it's the word. Number two, I can say that because he is amazing at letting me be who I am. He's never, like, said, you know, don't go do that, or you're, you know, submit or anything like that. It's an honor for us to be married. It's an honor to serve under him in the home, and I mean that. And he's never lorded anything over me or anything like that. And so, you know, I'll just be honest with you, just full disclosure, I'm very concerned about the women today and what's happening with this whole women's movement. And I'm not going to get into a big talk about it. And I am all women. Yes, absolutely, 100%. I love it. And I love that women are finding their voice. But I do think there is some deception that's going on just all the way across the board, and division that has started throughout in so many different areas, whether it's race, whether it's religion, whether it's female or male. You know, it's just, if you don't see it, I don't know how you don't see that there's just constant division, you know, just in every area. And I think it's spiritual. Mm-hmm. I do. I don't think it's political. I do think there are things that we have to deal with because the nation's been blinded to things that people have been. But I do think it's spiritual. And I think it's a spiritual attack on trying to divide this nation. And, I'm just going to throw that out there. So,
good word.
Okay, in closing, we're going to ask each couple to give one piece of advice that you would give out. If there was one thing that you would say to a couple to make their marriage better, what would it be? And we'll start down here and we'll work our way down.
So at my gym this last weekend, we had a small workshop and a gentleman talked, and we've just been eating it up since. But he talked about how there's rough number, 20% of something about your spouse you may not like. 20%. But if we focus on that 20% and don't embrace the 80% that we fell in love with and just honor on a daily basis, and we focus on that 20%, you're going to mess up. And that's what's going to create that division. So if I can focus on the 80% that I fell in love with, that I've grown to love, all those things, and not be so petty to think about that 20%, that's going to set us up to know that nothing can get between us.
It's more like 90-10. But
I would say who I've surrounded myself with over 24 years has been the biggest effect in our marriage life, good and bad. You know, Pastor Bill, you say it all the time, you know, I can promise while you're here at church, you're probably not going to sin. And it's, for me, and who I've surrounded myself with has been the cause of great things and bad things over our 23, 24 years.
Well, being married for 20 years, I don't know, it seems to me like it's a long time, especially having a 20-year-old daughter and marrying her off. But I truly believe we've lived a lot of life in the 20 years. We got married when I was 19 and he was 21. And life hit us hard because we weren't Christians when we got married. And one thing that really hit me is in the very beginning of our marriage is my answer to everything was like, well, let's get a divorce. Like everything that came up, I was just like, that was my answer. And finally, I realized that we needed help, but I didn't really know how to get help and or how to ask for it. And so I finally went to church, gave my life to the Lord. Everything in my life dramatically changed over a period of time. And the one thing, there's like married couples, like everything that we went through a lot of stuff in our life and we got bumps and bruises and scrapes along the way. But the cool thing about everything that we experienced in our marriage is today is when those bumps and bruises and those scrapes and the scars that are still there, you know, the ones that you can still see, the great thing about it is everything that we went through, I really do believe was for a purpose. God turned everything around for good, and we have a stronger marriage today because of it. But we were strong because we asked for help. Like I feel like everyone thinks people are weak if they go and they ask for help or they need counseling or they need something. But after we asked for help and we got help, our marriage was like, did a 180. And all of a sudden, people just started coming into our lives that influenced us for good and that gave us wisdom and gave us just everything we needed. And all of a sudden, all of that compounded upon itself. And we started seeing people and we're like, we want a marriage like that. We want kids like that. And so that's what we started surrounding ourselves with, were people that it was a game changer in our marriage. We have a top 10 that we always pray for, that Bub and I privately pray for, that are people that influenced us. And I can tell you, those top 10 people, that we have takeaways from every single one of them that we still today use in our marriage, that we share with other people. But every scar that we have, or you know, the road rashes that we have from our life that we lived, seriously has been the biggest impact on other people. Like people like land in our laps that have gone through the exact same things that we've gone through, and it has literally been game changers in their lives. And so I just say, like, if you need help, never ever think that you're weak to ask for someone to help you. I mean, but get the right help. Get Christian counseling, get the, you know, people that are totally in the Word and are wise in that area. But if anything, I really think that that's, I don't.
I would say, I have a few things, but first of all, keeping it simple, remembering why you fell in love with who you're with, remembering what started it all. You know, we get busy, we start businesses or we have jobs, we have kids, and we get all these responsibilities, sometimes you forget really where that core was. And then all of a sudden life is about what's so busy and never just the most important things, which is keeping that friendship alive. And so sometimes I like to think back, okay, I remember her and I, when we were first starting, first talking, the things that was interesting to me about her. And it kind of keeps me grounded and keeps that relationship rooted. And I think another thing is arguments get really, really bad when you hide things, because then at some point it comes out. So communication is huge, but not communicating about the daily stuff, but also communicating about how you feel, how you talk to each other, like what Jaime said a few days later. He kind of came back and talked about it. Those things are huge, not hiding things and letting those little things just sit and fester, because those things cause you to just blow up. And then on the backside of that is just walking in forgiveness and walking in love. That to me has been the biggest thing in our relationship, is that Joanna always is very quick to forgive me when I make a mistake, and I'm also quick to forgive her. And walking in that level of forgiveness towards her keeps us from, kind of harboring anything towards each other. But like I said, I think sometimes just getting back to the simple things and finding things that you love to do together, enjoy doing together, and keeping a friendship base to it, not just, hey, we live life together, but we were best friends when it started, and we're still best friends, and we're going to continue being best friends. It's just something we work on every day.
One little thing. I always grew up watching my parents be best friends, and they like play cards together every night and go on motorcycle rides, and they had couples they did stuff with. And I always watched my mom and dad prefer each other. And I think they weren't perfect, but I think that's one of the best examples that I've tried to duplicate, is to prefer Matt. Obviously, I have friends and I have other things in life as well, but mainly I want to prefer him, and I also want to treat him in a way that I want my kids to choose someone like. I want Lola to choose someone like him because of how he prefers me, and I want Ryder to pick a woman who will love and adore him like I love and adore Matt. And so, anyways, I think we can take the good from our parents. We can, obviously, no parents are perfect, but we can take the good that we learn from them and pass it on.
I would say at the end of the day, all we have is God's word, and that's enough for anything that you're going through. And so that would be the first place that I would say go to find out the answers to anything that you need. That's the basic spiritual answer I'm going to give you. But the fun answer is, I think that something that has made our marriage so great is that Bill has never been controlling. And he's always given me the liberty to be able to go out with my friends. If we're going to all go out and go to a movie or go to dinner or whatever, he's like, I'll watch the kids. Don't worry about them. When they were little, I'm talking really little, three of them. And it was so liberating to me, because sometimes your wife just needs a little bit of time to either just like even go to Target and just be by themselves and like look down the aisles. No, seriously. I mean, it was like, or go to Barnes & Noble and like just look at magazines for a while or something. I mean, something just mindless, or just drive with, the stereo blasting Prince or something. I don't know. I mean, I'm just telling you, I can tell you definite times in our marriage that, that has helped, because there's a trust between Bill and I. And so he trusts me with the money. I trust him with money. He's never been like, oh my gosh, don't do that. Like this kind of thing. And so I just want to encourage, and it could be the wife that's that way with their husband. So that's been liberating, is the fun, having the fun, surrounding yourselves with people. Find somebody that you see that it's worked for them. I think a lot of people go to their peers or go to people that maybe you're going through something, and they need to go through someone that's come out on the other end, no matter what you're going through. This isn't just for marriage. This is for anything, who you're going to marry. I mean, we could spend a whole night on that. But anyway, that would be my advice. What would yours be?
Yeah, I'm thankful for this church. The last 25 years of our marriage has been us involved in the church here at Guts, but raising our kids, I mean, it's been so helpful for me that there's been so many people that love Sandy for who she is, for what she brings. celebrates her, but then not just her, but our children. And you can't take that lightly. I mean, having, you know, I just listened to the Swags talk about their kids. I'm like, oh my goodness. Because when she said, well, Lola's going to marry the right person and it's going to be somebody that reminds of her dad, something in my heart like was like, yes. I mean, it was screaming on the inside of me. And that's because it's family. That's how God built this. She and I better be very different. She's a woman, I'm a man, okay? If we're, man, we're exactly the same. We think alike, we talk alike. I think there's something fruity about that. There's something weird about that. But she's not asking me not to be a man. I'm not asking her not to be a woman. There's been a lot of times, she and Kennedy are very similar. And Kennedy, unlike Taylor and Brooklyn, Kennedy will stand up to us. I mean, I'm like, wait a minute, did we not spank her enough? Or does she not know the horror I can bring to her situation? But Sandy will stand up, or Kennedy will stand up to Sandy, and Sandy will turn to me and say, Bill, do you have anything to add? And it'll like stun me because I'm looking at two of the same people going, it's like Ali and Foreman. It's like this amazing prize fight that, but the point is that we're different to our core, and we've been able to celebrate that because of this church. I mean, I'm gonna end what I guess this part of what I'm gonna say is this, that this is a great church to celebrate the best you, not who people expect you to be. And that's the best way I can put it. Man, people just, I mean, I know there's a ton of expectation, but, and I think it starts from the very first service we started over 25 years ago when Sandy showed up and she said, Bill, if no one else comes, it's me and you. Took all the pressure off. But it also helped me just be the best me that I could be. And that's all I want for Sandy and for everybody up here is just your kids. Just be the best, just your best effort, the best you can be.
Okay, let's give them a round of applause. Thank you guys for being here and being vulnerable.